Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to violence.
Welcome to Lost in the Static.
It is Lost in the Static. I am Josh Hadley, and I have got a great deal for you guys out there today. To help me demonstrate the products, I have got Scott back with me. Hello, say hello, Scott.
Hi, everybody. It's so good to be here today.
Well, here, if you go adamandeve.com, you can get like this brilliant butt plug. You can get one of these for yourself. Cheap, too.
Wait a moment. Is that a space-age material butt plug? That is incredible. There's no way that works.
Turn around and look at the wall.
What? Ooh!
See how well that went in? You didn't even need lube. And you can get your own one of these at adamandeve.com. If you use the promo code STATIC, you get 50% off a single item. But wait, I'm not done yet.
No, that's incredible. 50, half off any single item?
You also get free shipping!
Free shipping? That's insane! How do they... Hang on a moment, let me remove this. Thank you. How do they afford such wild deals?
Because they're adamandeve.com, but wait! There's more!
No!
You get a free mystery gift!
A free mystery gift?
And to help you whack off, if you call now, they're even going to include three free sex DVDs!
Three?
Three! One, two, three!
Gosh.
All you have to do is use the promo code STATIC at adamandeve.com.
And look, these Spank DVDs are non-stick. This egg slides right off of it.
Oh my God, you can cook milk right into this pan. All right, we're totally done with our really bad 90s infomercial promo.
The only thing that would have made that better is if you had a British accent.
We tried when he was out having a cigarette.
It didn't work.
Terrible. My British accent is just awful.
But yeah, adamandeve.com. Use the code STATIC. You'll be helping out not only yourself with Spank material, especially if you have some friends that you want to shop for this holiday season.
Yeah,
or
Christmas
family.
Is coming up, man.
Yeah, Christmas. Why not give the gift of butt pluggery?
Hey, I wonder if they're, you know, because we're recording this right before Black Friday. I don't know if they're going to have a Black Friday deal at adamandeve.com.
I actually think adamandeve.com does the Cyber Monday thing.
Okay,
Go to the website, check it out right now, give it a shot, and I'm sure they'll have some deals coming up. It's holiday times. Not only are you getting these great gifts with these three free DVDs, free shipping, and half off your
half off of a single item,
but your most expensive item. You're also helping me and Josh out because we actually do, and you support this podcast.
This thing's commission based, so
yeah, please. And we've looked at things, and you guys are really, you're liking these Adam and Eve codes. So
yeah, you people are using them.
Exactly. And we appreciate that because we do get a cut. I'm not going to lie about that. Yes, I'm back. It's me.
And your back's a little looser now after that promo too.
Yes, it is. And for those of you wondering, no, did not have a butt plug in. And Josh wouldn't put it in that way anyway. I wouldn't let him.
Thanks.
Be happy about that.
Okay.
But yeah, I'm back to the show. I'm going to be here.
Again.
I'm back. There may come a time in the future when I need another break.
When he gets mad at me again.
But the truth is, Josh and I talked about some stuff, and we're working some stuff out, and my family stuff that was going down went down and is now done.
You also need to address all the people on Facebook that said, hey, Scott, come back, and the emails I got that said, if you don't come back, you're a son of a bitch.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't know. I didn't know if that was a threat or not.
I don't know, but I'm not used to the idea of having fans.
See, I don't like that word. I like listeners. I don't
either.
I like the word listeners.
I'm not. Well, that's the thing. And there are a couple of these people that actually called themselves fans and said, I'm a fan of yours. I'm not used to that concept, but I have been deluged with quite a few new Facebook friends and messages and emails, and you got quite a few apparently.
Yep.
And
I forwarded a few of them to you,
and I appreciate it. Even those that were like, if you don't come back, I'm going to seek you out and kill your entire family. you know,
no, we didn't actually get any of those. He's exaggerating for effect.
I'm exaggerating for effect, but we did get some that, that said, if I don't come back, I think one called me a son of a bitch. One called me a dumbass. One said, I'm never listening to the show again. And come on, guys, I appreciate it. So I'm back.
Oh my God. He's being flattered.
I am.
He's blushing and everything.
He's blushing right now.
Oh my God.
But nonetheless, I appreciate the sentiment, and it feels good to be wanted. I'm married, so I haven't felt wanted since 2004.
Oh. You do know your wife's just in the other room, right?
Yeah.
Thank God she's not listening, huh?
You think she'd disagree with me? No.
Well, should we actually get to the topic and not ramble?
Sure, go right ahead.
All right.
You've brought in a copy of Popular Science.
From July of 1993. Found this for a quarter at a St. Vincent de Paul recently.
So this is what, a few months after we graduated high school?
Yeah. Well, I graduated in June, so it would have been a month after.
No, I graduated in May, so.
Okay, so yeah, it would have been right after I got out of high school. I'm looking through this thing, and I'm just seeing all these ads and write-ups for pieces of tech that either I don't remember in some cases, or in other cases are just things that I remember seeing commercials for, yeah, and whatnot, that I had totally forgotten until I saw this ad again. I would have never remembered a fucking zip drive.
Exactly. See, and I had tons. I used them through college all the time. So,
and see, okay, this show, we have not rehearsed it, but we have sort of already gone over it. When Scott was on his sabbatical, I called him up and we started talking about this, and we spent almost an hour talking about all the old tech. And I said, why aren't we recording this?
And he goes, I love Josh. He goes, what the hell is a zip drive?
So Scott's the expert on the outdated tech.
Yeah.
So this episode is going to be about outdated technology. And I kind of want to keep it. Let's go towards the 90s only.
Okay.
Because if we're going to the 80s, obviously that's the early days of what we consider a computer.
You get into the 80s and the 70s, and then you're talking about the classic tech, the starting tech when home computers really started to come about. Especially if you go back in the 70s and 60s, we get to the point to where
computers are as big as rooms.
Well, computer not quite in the 60s. They were a little smaller, but they were huge still. And that's the very beginning of networking and stuff like that. It wasn't until the 70s and 80s that we got it into the home, but then we had, you remember the dot-com boom.
That was early to mid-90s. Yeah,
1989 to 1998-ish, 99-ish. And that is when all you needed for a startup was an idea and a
modem.
And a venture capital company, actually. And VC they were just dumping money into tech because NASDAQ really boomed, which is the more tech-centric stock exchange here in the States. And there was just this boom of dot-com companies where there was just this glut of money that was dumped into tech and any idea that you had.
But that bubble burst hard by the late 90s.
That bubble burst hard in the year 2000.
Okay, I thought it was more late 90s, but all right.
No, year 2000. It kind of started to decline a little bit and level out to a plateau in the late 90s, but it just burst in 2000.
I have a series of VHS tapes. It's a box set called The Rise of the Internet. It was made in 1999.
Oh,
so it is so funny to watch these things.
You know,
height of technology.
Oh, yeah.
That they were at, and they're like, oh my God, this is so great. You know, I have like such and such RAM, and I'm going, my God, that can't play a Nintendo game on my computer. that can't play a MAME engine.
Yeah, that's in my cell phone now. Go ahead and take a look through the magazine, Josh. And was there any particular technology that you had a question on? Now, we mentioned the zip drive, which...
Explain to me and them what a zip drive was.
Sure, no problem. Prior to writable and rewritable CDs really taking off, you had floppy disks. And you remember the two most common ones were 5 1/4 inch floppy disk and then a 3 1/2 inch floppy disk.
I actually found, funny story, I found a couple of those 3 1/2 inch ones that I had just old photos and stuff. And you remember, back then you could store maybe 5-6 photos on of those things.
Oh, yeah.
And I just, for the hell of it, I popped them in because I still have an A drive on my current computer. So I popped them in. And I just, for the hell of it, I said, I want to try and take like a song and put it on there.
Not going to work.
No.
Not going to work.
You can't even put a song on these
things. That's right. The 3 1/2 inch floppy drive topped out at 1.44 megabytes. That is, in to give you an idea, guys.
Your computer can't even boot up on that nowadays.
Yeah, no, your computer can't boot up on that nowadays. And that's like an encyclopedia page. That's a few, that's a couple of photos and a bunch of text, and that's about it. Zip drives came about when, obviously, these weren't going to work. CD writing and creating data CDs was still too expensive. So you ended up with zip drives, which are in between. They could hold about 100 megabytes. You had zip drives.
So you're still not even enough to put more than a song or two on there?
No, no. A song is about 5 megabytes. So for these guys, you're probably talking 20 songs.
Okay.
And then you had those. You had super disks, which were around 10 megabytes. So two songs.
Okay. What era did we hit where we actually had a gig worth of material? Would that be just when CDs started to become writable?
A gig didn't come around because your CDs
a DVD would be over a gig, right?
Right, right. When DVDs came around, we started playing with gigs, but gig really didn't hit until we had the thumb drives. And gig is a relatively recent thing when it comes to portable media. Now, it came about in hard drives in the late 90s, early 2000s. But that was tethered to your machine.
Yeah, because one of my old computers, because I can't remember if I talked about it on this show or not before. I have an old computer, a Windows 98 computer that I have sitting off to the side that I play my old PC games on.
Sure.
Because when I put them in a new computer, it overwrites some of the files with outdated files, and I end up fucking up my computer system. So it's just safer to play them on the old computer.
That's when you come up with a nice little emulator called DOSBox.
Right. But so I've got this old computer, 1.3 gig hard drive, and I can't even store a movie trailer on that.
And that was huge. You know, I remember my first computer to get a hard drive. It was a 400 megabyte hard drive. And I looked at that and I was like, there is no way I'm ever going to fill that up.
Hey, now I currently have a 600 gig hard drive and I thought, oh, I'm never going to fill that up. I've got about 80 gigs left.
Now I'm looking at my little USB hard drive that I've got that's a 3 terabyte drive. And I'm going, I'm never going to fill it. I've said that too many times. I'm already a quarter of the way there. And
I was going to say, you've already got like a third, I was going to say. Well,
my wife just got a new laptop. Okay. 500 gigabyte internal hard drive. Her removable drive on her old computer, which was about 4 times the size of the drive on her old computer, was 250. So she has just, it took her 2 days, but she transferred all of her music and everything over to her laptop.
And now she's got much more space.
She's still got tons of space left. She's like, I'm never going to fill this up. Uh-huh. You're going to eat those words.
Let's see what happens by Christmas.
So we had this revolution in storage when optical data like CDs and stuff came around. And that was kind of the death knell of the zip drive, was optical drives for your big stuff that you have to carry around or permanent archiving, and thumb drives were really the huge death knell for these, because then you've got 4 times the storage on one simple drive that has no moving parts.
I saw a comic strip in the newspaper just a couple of years ago, but it's on my fridge. It says 1990 and shows a guy like, you know, selling pencils and stuff like that for a dollar a piece. And it says 2010 and it's got a guy selling flash drives for a dollar a piece.
Oh, yeah. And I remember when flash drives were 70, 80 bucks a piece. And that was for 128 meg. Those were probably 256 meg, but
my current 8 gig I think was $14, yeah. Something like that.
Yeah, I mean, it's storage is and now they're talking about cloud storage and stuff like that. We're approaching infinite size with zero cost. That's what we're ideally approaching, is when you can just put it there and you no longer have to worry about how big things are. But that's a ways away.
Right. Okay, I'm flipping through this magazine.
Okay, what do you see here?
The Mirror Mac. NewTek One is the first independently developed hardware-software computer package with an operating system that runs Macintosh software. Available with different configurations, NewTek One includes a Motorola 33 megahertz bunch of numbers processor, a Mac-compatible SCSI connector for SCSI external devices, and audio in and out jacks. Price, $899.
Now, you actually picked out a really interesting little piece of technology right there.
It's just on an ad.
I realize that. But the reason that's interesting is that machine, the NewTek One, is the reason Steve Jobs came back to Apple after starting Next.
Interesting.
Because part of Apple, back when Macintosh first came around and Steve Jobs took over and everything like that, they didn't allow clones. Now, Steve Jobs at one point got pissed off at everybody at Apple, left, started Next Technology, and came out with the Next Cube, which was the all-magnesium case computer and was just absolutely astounding for its time and beautiful design. And the Next OS, which really was a beautiful OS as far as coding goes. All of a sudden, when I forget what the gentleman's name was, but the CEO that was running Apple said, well, you know, cloning worked for IBM. Let's let it work for Macintosh, too. And the one that you just mentioned came out, and Jobs came back and went, no, hold it.
I'm flipping pages, and he's just like, no, I want to talk about exactly the one you just flipped
and
past.
We're going to talk about this one right here. But yeah, that's the reason Steve Jobs came back to Apple. That's the reason why ultimately Apple took off again. Why Next failed and
Apple. So are you saying without the Mirror Mac, we might not have had iPods and
exactly.
shit?
Exactly. Without the Mac clones, we probably wouldn't have ended up with iPods or...
Is 890? Is 900 bucks? Was that a lot back then for that? I mean, obviously it's a lot of money, but for what you got, was that expensive?
That was for what you got, it was reasonable, because with a true Macintosh with those same stats, you're talking over $1,000.
Okay.
So $899, that, you know, I mean, imagine.
But you also got to put that in 1993 dollars.
Exactly. I'm still talking over $1,000 for a comparable Mac at that time versus that little Mirror Mac for 900 bucks. It's a savings. It would be like somebody holding up a MacBook Air, which is a $1,000 computer, if not more, but, you know, entry level $1,000 computer is the little MacBook Air.
Okay.
What if somebody held up another one that had the same exact stats as the MacBook Air, the same exact form factor, except it had a big sticker on it that said Steve is an asshole. and that's basically what happened when it came out to the clones. It was, you know, and that's why Steve Jobs went, hold it. No, that's my baby. I'm coming back. We're fixing this.
Okay. The thing I was flipping through was Sharp. From sharp minds come sharp products. Incredible. Now you can get 8.5 by 11 inch word processing out of a 4x7 Wizard. Introducing the touchscreen Wizard 9600 with built-in word processing. Now, this thing has the screen of a fucking Game Boy One.
Yeah, it's a black and white screen.
Kind of puke yellow.
Yeah, well, it's.
That's not
classic
white.
Classic LCD black and white.
Yeah, I'm sorry, that is not white.
I realize it's grayscale, but. The reason I stopped you on the Sharp Wizard is because this is an entire category of tech that we don't see anymore.
The whole one-use handheld kind of thing?
The one-use handheld and what they used to call the PDA, the personal digital assistant.
Isn't that what the BlackBerry basically is today?
These were huge. You had the Palm Pilot.
I remember Palm Pilot.
The Springboard, which was
I don't remember that.
when the original guys that started Palm left, they went and started Springboard. You had the Apple Newton, which if you own an iPod Touch or an iPhone, that's a direct descendant of the Apple Newton. Sharp made their Wizards, there were tons of these, and the Wizards. Not only did they have touch screens and larger screens, but they had full-on keyboards built in by the end. They were basically little miniature laptop computers that would hold very weak. They would hold all of your contacts, all of your data, and by the end they were trying word processing on them. But they have been replaced now by cell phones.
Speaking of that, the page I just turned to, a breakthrough in cordless phone technology.
Oh yeah,
I just think that's funny.
Well, I remember the very first cordless phone I had was a Cobra, and it had, you know, you had to answer the phone, you pick up the phone, you extend the antenna up into the air.
I remember
you,
that.
Yeah, yes. Then you hit a button. And you hold it up to your ear, and maybe 10, 15 minutes later, you'd be switching back to a regular wired phone because it was about to die. But or you'd pick up your neighbor's conversations. I don't know if you ever did that.
I've done that with a cell phone. I've actually somehow picked up other people's conversations. I don't think I ever did it on a cordless.
I did it on cordless phone. I also did it with...
I'm lying. That did happen once. I picked up the phone, and I'm... You know, I'm like, Melissa, are you talking? You know, you on the other? No. And it's like, I'm hearing somebody fighting.
And I used to love, they had back in the late 90s, you could get police scanners. And when cell phones switched over to the kind of the last analog frequencies were in the 900 megahertz.
The ones where you still had to pull the antenna out on the cell
phone? On the cell phone. Before they switched over to digital with Sprint PCS and the modern stuff and started talking about Gs, then they started talking about frequencies. And you're talking 900 megahertz all the way up to 2.4 gigahertz frequencies. And I used to have an old police scanner that was programmable. And I used to just scan from 900 megahertz all the way up to about 2.4 gigahertz, and I picked up cell phone conversations from all over town, and I just listened in on people's, and I heard...
I have to think, that's probably you broke a few laws. I have to think that's not legal.
No, because when the cell phone company switched over, the people that made the police scanners, the police actually moved their stuff to 800 megahertz digital, scrambled and shit, and... So we got this glut of new police scanners that wouldn't pick up the
cell phones. Like the little shitty ones that Channel 26 used to have?
No, these were really good ones. But they were programmed and designed not to pick up the cell phone deals and to pick up the new police deals. But we had a run at Radio Shack on the old ones. And they were just clearing them out. So
because people wanted to still?
Because they were grandfathered in, you know. If you buy this, okay, Radio Shack will not be allowed to sell it after such and such a date.
Get it now.
But you can buy it from Fred, you know, but they're not manufacturing them anymore. Kind of like CB radios in 1978 when they changed the laws there. And
yeah, I'm not familiar with the laws over CB.
CB radios.
That's a whole different topic.
CB radios made prior to 1978 will fetch you a few grand still.
What can they do that post-78s can't?
They are much, much more powerful on the transmit side. Okay. You can do things like bounce from state to state.
I'm thinking of just the beginning of Contact.
Yeah. Well, I used to on good clear winter nights fire up my pre-1978 Citizens Band radio in Indiana, in eastern Indiana, and talk to people in St. Louis, Missouri.
Interesting.
Yeah, it was fun. So what else did you find in here? Because I know you...
Compaq's new Desk Pro 5 66M is one of the first PCs to use the Intel Pentium chip.
Yes.
This thing is a brick, man. The picture they show?
Oh, yeah.
This thing is a brick. It's just, holy crap.
it's just a gray box like they all used to be.
With another gray box on top of it for the screen.
A much bigger gray box.
The mouse is a square even. It's not even a rectangle.
That's
right. The mouse is a fucking square.
That's right.
It doesn't even have that little scroll button. I'm so used to.
The scroll wheels didn't come around until 2001.
Really? Because I don't think I have any mice at home that don't have the scroll wheel.
They're standard now, but you know, I remember when having a three button mouse was a big deal. And now let's look at my cordless mouse that I have on my desk now. I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 buttons and 2 scroll wheels.
Nice.
Yeah, my there's only two reasons why my right hand leaves my mouse when I'm computing.
Now a galaxy of savings. Get rid of endless monthly equipment rental fees. Owning your cable equipment saves you the high cost of monthly rental charges and gives you complete control over your TV. We have the best in converters and descramblers. Okay. MD Electronics.
Okay, let's talk about that stuff. Because that is not...
Actually, I'm in the classified section. There's a lot of these descramblers in the back of this magazine,
and
man.
The reason for that is, remember, we're back on analog TV signals. And there's only so much that the cable company can do as far as scramble wise. So what, you know, and your rental fees from your cable company, by the way, might have been a dollar a month. You're not saving money. What you're doing is you're buying those descramblers, and you can buy crystals and other various things, and you could get cable for free.
Well, let's go back even a little bit further back to the C-band satellite era. Remember when you used to be able to basically, this is really going to be going back for any of our younger listeners. C-band is those giant, huge dishes that were in people's yards.
It faded. C-band went away, I think, the last, well, I don't know when the last transmission of C-band shut down, but the last time I saw a dish like that in somebody's yard was in 1994.
Oh, God, no. Even back into when I was bootlegging tapes,
yeah.
I found a guy that I befriended online. He had a C-band, and if you knew when this the like NBC, the network, was going to be transmitting the new Law & Order to the affiliates,
yeah.
And you knew the frequency, you could get that 4 or 5 weeks early, and I'd use that to bootleg. He'd make me copies of all the C-band stuff that's being transmitted out of New York or Los Angeles to all the affiliates. And he used a C-band for that, and that was in the early 2000s.
I can tell you exactly when the C-band transmission stopped, and that was at the digital switchover.
Most likely.
No, not most likely. That's exactly it, because I do remember working at Radio Shack in 1999, and we had one C-band satellite for sale. It wasn't even in the store. It was in the storage unit.
Somebody in Surgeon Bay still has one in their yard. Every now and then I see it moving. I don't know if they're searching for something.
I don't know if they're, you know.
There might be something still transmitting out there.
There might be. There might be. They may have even opened up the frequencies a little bit for amateur use, which is what I wish, really wish they would do.
Well, okay. I'm going to show you something. We're going to play this for you guys. You're not going to get all of the video, but you will get the audio.
Okay.
Hi, I'm Ginger from American Ecstasy. When you see a scrambled picture on this channel, don't worry. We'll be testing the uncensored American Triple Ecstasy every night at 10 p.m. Eastern. It's so hot, we have to scramble. You can de-scramble the channel with the American Triple Ecstasy De-Scrambler Box. $399 includes everything you'll need for the first year. The second year is only $120, guaranteed. Order now by calling 1-212-696-4111 during the day with MasterCard or Visa, or send check or money order to American Ecstasy, P.O. Box 1948, New York, New York 10156. Members of American Ecstasy can use their 20% discount and pay only $319. These are the original versions, no editing. When we start officially, that's when your first year begins. You will not be billed for the Triple X testing period. If you've already ordered, you'll be getting this box very soon. Throw away the big tools and follow these simple directions. It hooks up like a VCR. Audio and video out of your satellite receiver into the box. Out of the box into your TV set. Plug the box into the wall. That's it. You'll see the hottest television in America. American Triple Ecstasy plans to bring you New Wave Hookers, Sex Drive, Smoker, Bordello, Sex Crimes 2084, and over 100 others. Send $399 to American Triple Ecstasy, P.O. Box 1948, New York, New York 10156, or call 1-212-696-4111, weekdays from 9 to 5.
Sorry, that
American
was a little loud.
Triple Ecstasy. We excite you.
Okay.
So, Scott, in 1985, only $400 would get you porn on your TV.
Now, that was satellite only, wasn't it? Because if I remember right.
Yeah. Okay. There was a big deal because, you know, I collect like old promos and I love this kind of shit.
You love this stuff.
There was a big thing. People were trying to find old promos and things like this from Triple Ecstasy. We found some guy that used to work there. He said this thing only lasted like a year, and he didn't even have any of the promos.
Really?
Yeah. So, you know, this American Triple Ecstasy did not last long at all.
No,
by the way, Sex Crimes 2084, one of the movies they showed.
Yeah.
That's one of the things I wrote about in my Hustler article. That's one of the films I used.
Has your Hustler article been published yet?
March.
March?
March of this coming year.
Do you hear that, listeners?
Well, it's March. The last time I talked to the editor, it was March coming out.
Okay, so.
But
possibility.
But I just like, we were talking about D-Scramblers, and it's like, well, I've got to play this. And keep in mind, now Scott saw this for the first time when you people heard it. Okay? It is just, it's so sexual. And you just put it in the box and you plug it in.
Exactly. I forget about the big tools, which is what I tell all women who date me. Just forget about the big
tools.
We're
not going there.
but yeah, and I do have to say, look up this promo on
YouTube.
On YouTube. Beautiful side boob.
Some really nice. She's wearing overalls and that's it.
Yeah. But nonetheless.
But like we were talking about like C-band.
Right.
The thing with C-band was, I mean, you remember Captain Midnight, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, for those too young, when you used to have a C-band dish prior to 1984, you'd be able to get HBO and Cinemax and Showtime and the Movie Channel and MTV and all that for free. Well, obviously, the cable companies wanted you to pay for that. So they started scrambling the signals. So you had to buy a descrambler. And the real shitty thing about this whole thing was the descramblers. You had to buy one for each channel.
Yep.
To get Showtime, you had to have a Showtime descrambler. And HBO, you know, so it wasn't just you bought a descrambler and you paid your cable company. You had to buy them from the companies. So Captain Midnight was actually a C-band seller. He actually was a retailer, got fed up with this because nobody was buying C-band dishes. The only reason people bought C-band dishes was to basically get free cable.
Right, right.
And so he broke in to HBO in 1984 and put on a thing that said, you know, like $14.95 a month HBO. No way. From Captain Midnight, Cinemax, and Showtime. Watch out, you're next.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just say the FBI didn't find that nearly as funny as we do now.
No, and if I remember right, he had to go on a vacation for a while.
Nope, he cut a deal.
Oh, did he?
He cut a deal and sold out all the people who he was dealing illegal electronics to get a. He basically told all the names.
But that's what the descramblers on the back were for. Were you could in the analog cable days buy descramblers, and usually by the time they hit the ads in the back of the magazine, they were obsolete.
Do you realize most of our audience doesn't even know what scrambling actually was?
Do you know how many times I would look at scrambled
porn?
Cinemax at night and be like, oh, that was a boob. I saw a boob.
And then all of a sudden they're going, that was an elbow.
Yeah.
Put your glasses on.
And you'd get that. Occasionally it would come in clear or.
For a couple of seconds.
For a few seconds, and then it would scramble again.
Because basically what it is imagine taking the vertical hold. God, do they even have that on modern TVs anymore?
No.
It's going to be really hard to explain this to somebody who doesn't know what it is.
But
does it?
Imagine messing up the vertical and horizontal hold so that your picture is moving all over the place, up and down and left and right.
In little strips too.
And, yeah.
So you don't even get one solid picture. You
right.
get strips of the picture basically out of order.
But anybody our age, I guarantee any man our age has at some point,
learn how to come really fast because usually the first 3 minutes of the movie were free before they scrambled it.
Well, that was the hotel. Do you remember Spectravision? I don't know if you traveled enough.
No, I do not know Spectravision.
Spectravision.
You brought that up when we had Brad on here like 2 years ago.
Yeah, somewhere around there. But Spectravision was basically Spank Bank at hotels.
Did you get like the first 5 minutes free or something?
Yeah, you could if you wanted to. They had, of course, the mainstream movies that they had a special
Who the hell watches those in their hotel room alone?
Had a special channel that would run previews for that. But for their spank material, you go up, you hit the button, and you get the first, I think 5 minutes of the movie free or something. And or you get a 5 minute preview of different scenes. So yeah, I gotta tell you, when you're 16, that's all you need. You're just like, all right, I don't need the 90 minutes. Exactly.
Who's gonna watch the entire 90-minute movie?
And I guarantee any businessman that rented that didn't even watch the entire 90 minutes of the movie. 20 minutes in, he's like, all right, I'm done.
Yeah, after 20 minutes, he wiped off his chest and went to bed.
Exactly. Well, that's why when you're traveling, you get a hotel room with two beds, one for us and one for spank material.
You know, so I just think that's funny that I didn't even realize that when we started talking that most of our, you know, if you're under 25, you probably don't even know what's scrambled. And it wasn't always porn. I remember trying to watch John Carpenter's The Thing at my grandparents' house because they didn't pay for HBO.
But most of this is the weird thing about scrambling. Do you remember most of the time the audio came in clear?
Yeah, the audio. It was only the picture.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, there were numerous movies I listened to.
Oh, yeah.
But I could not see when I was at my grandparents' house because they did not have any of the pay channels. But even then, it's not like today where you flip it and the pay channel says, you know, go to this, you know, number to order this channel.
Exactly.
And there's nothing there. It was, you'd go there and the picture would be all, but you'd be able to hear everything that was going on. That's exactly the way it was in the 80s.
Oh, yeah. And it was a glorious time.
In some ways, I don't think the technology is as good today because you don't have things like that.
It's
a weird way.
It's more difficult to cheat today.
Those sons of bitches.
Like, in order for me to really cheat my digital receiver, it would take some major surgery, let's say, some digital surgery on my cable box. I can do it.
do you remember the rash of descramblers in the, it might even have been around the 90s, early 90s, around this time, where they were setting people's houses on fire? They would have the little get cable for free things you'd order out of the back of magazines like this, and the people would hook it up and they would overheat and set this tiling on people's.
Yes, I do.
There was this huge rash and, of course, tons of lawsuits. Not only were they making an illegal product to begin with,
right,
then they're getting sued for burning people's houses down, right, because guess what? Insurance doesn't cover you if you're doing something illegal.
That's right. I do remember that.
Yeah, there was this huge rash. I remember like 20, 30 different incidents of this illegal cable box setting people's houses on fire.
In fact, one of the docs that my dad worked with, I don't think it was his house, but maybe his vacation home or something like that.
He had an illegal?
It caught fire. And I'm thinking, you know what? You're a surgeon. Why the hell are you cheating?
Well, and then you used to also, I mean, I don't know how this became a cable show, but, you know, you used to also, if you lived in an apartment building, if one person paid for cable.
Oh, everybody got it.
Yeah. All you'd have to do is literally string coaxial cable to the other apartments and everybody got cable one cable bill.
Well, we used to do that with, at where I lived in Evansville, we used to do that with wireless internet. Because those of us that were smart enough to set up wireless internet, I think we had it split between 10 apartments, one internet bill, because we would just jack right on into the main guy's wireless internet. And
well, there was actually the precursor to HBO. It was called Z Channel. It was unfortunately only available in Los Angeles. Okay, it was the first all movie channel, 24 hours and whatnot. They used to put out a magazine called the Z Channel Guide, which was their cable guide for the month, as well as movie reviews and, you know, editorials things. Well, they had so many people hooking Z Channel up for free, you know, cable installers that were, hey, for $50, I'll give you Z Channel for free. Obviously, if you're not paying for Z Channel, you're not getting the magazine. People wanted the magazine. They were deluged with people that, hey, can I get the magazine without subscribing to the channel?
You know, I'm not really interested in having the channel, but I'd like to know what's on.
Yeah. So, do you know what actually killed that?
What?
Without realizing it, the cable installer was installing cable at the wife of Z Channel's president and offered to install it for free for 50, you know, Z Channel for free. Oops. For $50. Yeah. Oops.
Okay, take a look at your popular science. Is there anything else there that that caught your eye that you wanted to talk about today?
There was a couple of things about like the computer chips. Sure. There was one that's not in here, but I don't remember this specifically thing, but do you remember the email pilot? It was basically like a little mini laptop that its sole purpose was to send and receive emails only.
There were a couple of those.
Commercials for those.
Yeah, there were a couple of versions of those, and I cannot remember their names to save my life. One of them had like a feminine woman's name.
But those were later 90s. That's why they're not in this.
Right, but it was specifically marketed to women.
Well, and old people. Almost all the commercials elderly. Were old
but
people.
He, but yeah.
Email grandma.
But yeah, specific device. In fact, Peak. They're still doing it. Their most recent failure of a product was the Twitter Peak.
And okay, I don't even remember commercials.
Well,
this was
last year.
Yeah, but I don't even remember this one.
The Twitter Peak failed within months. Because it was a $120 device with a two-line LCD display that didn't even have 140 characters to display there.
Is that like the max?
That's the max.
I don't have a Twitter account, okay. So I don't know.
That's the max for Twitter is 140 characters. This thing displayed 120.
So you couldn't even get a whole Twitter message.
Even get a whole Twitter message on the same screen because it was this little two-line LCD thing. And it was $120, and that's all it did. You signed up for Twitter, which is free, and you could use it to tweet and to
read
tweets, and you would have to have wireless internet in order for it to access. It's not like it had cellular built in or anything like that. And
I'm going to guess it was expensive, too.
$120 for the device.
Jesus. And I'm sure the service?
No service.
Monthly fee?
No, okay. No monthly fee. But still, who's going to pay $120 for this thing, single-use thing?
Not my aunt would.
When you've got to have... But Peak also has an email deal that's a little bit smarter, a little bit larger screen. Again, simple. That there is a subscription because you get an at. I don't remember what it is, but an at. You get an email address.
At Peak or whatever.
Yeah. And these were really, really popular for, just like you said, women and older folks because they went in the kitchen or the living room and they didn't have to deal with a computer, which...
Isn't that what an iPod is?
Yeah, you can. You can use an iPod Touch for that. But to be honest, I mean, I'm thinking about my grandparents. And if I could go to my grandfather and just say, hey, this is a magical typewriter.
Is that how you would word it?
That's exactly how I would word it. This is a magical typewriter. All you have to do is put this in the to field. So this is who you're mailing it to. Write your message and hit enter, and I will get it immediately. And I can write you back on it. So if this light is flashing, that means that I've written you and you need to read your mail. And, you know, if I can explain a device like that to my grandparents and get them to use it, whereas using, you know, Windows 3.1, where you would boot up the computer and start in DOS.
That's next.
And then you have to go into Windows 3.1. Then you have to load this up. We have to make sure that your networking is there and everything like that. You know, back then, dealing with this stuff for grandparents, these single-use devices made sense because...
Except they usually didn't work very well.
A few did. There were a few that really did rise above the majority of... Handspring, again, we're back on the PDAs, but well, Handspring made...
What this Peak sounds like is... Mm-hmm. Do you remember, and I'm not trying to turn this into a video game thing, but that horrible disaster, the N-Gage?
Yes.
Where the thing was supposed to be a phone
slash... The taco phone.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It looked like a taco when you put it up to your ear. It was so poorly designed to change games, you had to take out the battery pack to swap to put the game in and then put the batteries back in. And had a ridiculously small screen that was taller than it was wide.
Yep.
How many games do you know that are of a...
It was great for Tetris, and that was about it.
Yeah, or like Tiger Heli or something. Mm-hmm. But you know, but that those weren't games that they had. And they only had like a dozen games, and this thing required a monthly fee. You had to have internet access, so you had to be connected to the internet or wireless somewhere. And it was just the only reason this thing ever got made is it was backed by the Russian mafia. And no, I'm not being facetious.
It was backed by the Russian
mafia. It really was backed by the Russian mafia. I think it was a Ponzi scheme, honestly.
In fact, there's a great one of the guys that contributed. Basically, he came up with the N-Gage.
And he's dead now.
Nokia was who marketed it. Or if you're over in the UK, Nokia.
Okay.
But Nokia were the people that did this. And he ended up buying a brand new Ferrari and wrecking it.
See, he cut it in half
on
a telephone pole.
Yeah.
How do you do that?
You drive like I
120 miles an hour?
You drive like I would.
Because, I mean, literally, if you see the photos, it's almost cut down the middle like one of those magical infomercials knives that can cut through a car door.
Yeah, it looks like somebody took a Ginsu to the car. But
I couldn't think of the brand. Thank you, Ginsu.
No problem. But yeah, you had these wonderful little sync, you know, and people talked about and are still talking about the connected home. This was huge about the time this came out, where everything was going to have networking built in. So your refrigerator, you would scan your groceries as you put them away, and it would know how much is in there, and it would do things like weigh your milk.
We touched on this before. Remember when we did the future that we never got?
Mm-hmm.
Remember we played that Tom Selleck commercial about how you'll be able to look up a library, you know, from your home and all this. That was right around this era.
Yeah.
When it was all, what did you call it? The connected home?
The connected home, the convergence era, where the idea was that you would walk into your house and have one device, just one thing in there that did everything from make your bed to let you watch TV on it to be your computer.
So it was like a stationary Rosie from the Jetsons.
That was the idea, the ideal outlook. And in fact, if you go back to this time, and I think it was 1993 that AT&T put out their "In the future, you'll be able to" commercial.
Yeah, I remember Tom Selleck was the narrator. Sci-Fi Channel ran the shit out of those.
Yeah, that was a different one. AT&T ran a networking. You know, this is what you'll be able to do in the future, and brought to you by AT&T.
Okay.
They ran some really successful commercials. Believe it or not, we're pretty damn spot on in the concept. Obviously not in practice, but in the concept of email was in there. The concept of the connected home was in there. The concept of a lot of the stuff that we do now, Netflix, connected libraries where you can get online books,
Wikipedia, ebooks,
Wikipedia, that it's all in these commercials. If you look them up on YouTube, they're great.
Although they look so outdated, just the way
they look amazingly outdated. And like I said, the actual practice, didn't work out quite that nicely. But
one other thing I wanted to touch on, you reminded me of this when you were just talking about the connected home. Nowadays, nobody even thinks, even in our early shows, you used to always long distance charges apply, and I'd verbally smack you for that.
Right.
Remember 1010, 220, and
all the
1-800 collect and shit like that?
1-800 collect, 1010, blah, blah, blah.
I remember there was 1010, 220, and then there was another 1010 one. You'd get it was like 99 cents for 30 minutes anywhere in the United States.
Yeah. There were about 15 companies that started with 1010, and that 1010 was actually the reason it was 1010 was because of the switching stuff at your
but this
local
is another
phone
thing
company.
That a younger listener is not going to remember this. The main reason I remember 1010 220, George Carlin was their fucking spokesman. And you know how, he admitted it. He was in legal trouble. He had IRS issues. He needed the money.
Yeah.
But I remember those because I'm a huge George Carlin fan, and I remember he pitched this shit to me.
Oh, yeah.
Fucking Carlin pitched me 1010 220.
Well, you know, he was also on Thomas the Tank Engine at the same time.
But he used to hawk cars in the 70s.
Yeah.
He did a couple of car ads. Harlan Ellison did car ads in the 70s. Mm-hmm. Everybody hawked a car in the 70s.
But what's funny is now I see those phone company or I see those commercials and I remember the 1010 220, the 1-800 collect.
And again, this is right around this same era of 93 or so.
You know, back when there were still payphones around.
I actually just saw one the other day. 50 fucking cents.
Mm-hmm.
It's at a gas station in Sturgeon Bay. And I'm going, fuck you. Who? I mean, yeah, there are going to be times when you might need it. Your cell phone is dead or something, but
right.
How often are you going to use that to make that worthwhile to keep on your building?
But nonetheless, you know, you had these companies and then you had nowadays I see things like Vonage.
Right.
And that kind of harkens back, and I'm like, oh, okay.
I remember
or
that.
Or what was the other one that I saw the other day that, oh, I forget.
A TV commercial?
Yeah, it was a commercial for some company that made me think of the old 1-800-COLLECT stuff and things like that. Now, mind you, when the last time I used a payphone, I on a regular basis was, again, when I lived in Muncie, and I would call my parents to come grab me at the Ball State Student Center, and it was only
dime still?
No, it was a quarter. But last time I went to Ball State to visit my family and stuff like that, $1.25.
Oh my God.
At the student center. And I'm like, no wonder all the students have cell phones, because $1.25 to make a local call, and I don't know.
I was just
how
watching
much.
War Games the other day. Remember when he
would you like to play a game?
Yeah, yes. But remember when he gets the free phone call and that he takes the microphone off and gets the old beer tab and then gets the static electricity to zap it and then it gives him access. And man, you cannot do that shit even by the 90s.
Well,
the phone companies actually,
believe it or not, there was still one trick you could do in the 90s that worked.
Phone freaking with the tones.
It's
called phone freaking.
Radio Shack used to sell DTMF or dual tone modulation frequency. Basically, they were to store your numbers, and then you held them up to the little talkie bit and hit, and it would dial the number using the tones. Which, for those of you that don't know, those can still be recognized on a regular corded phone. But what I would do is go to a payphone, and the same thing was done in the movie Hackers. I would go to the payphone, hook the earpiece.
We're going to be talking about Hackers next week.
Yeah, hook the earpiece up to a small little micro cassette recorder.
Right.
Hit record, drop in a couple bucks and quarters, and every time you put in a quarter, it would send tones through the line. And then hit the change return.
Get your money back.
Get my money back. Put the recorder onto the transmit end. Pick up the phone. Hear the dial tone. Hit the tones. Blululup. I've got a couple of bucks worth of
free long
credit.
Distance.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I think that's so funny that now that everyone has a cell phone, and yes, there's the whole thing that most people don't even use the phone part of it anymore.
Right.
They use their cell phones for everything but making a fucking phone
call.
Exactly.
That's why I always laugh at, you get rollover minutes. I never freaking use all my rollover minutes.
Well, and keep in mind, I'm the kind of guy that I only use my cell phone for calling people, and I still never even hit, I think it's 1,000 minutes a month max or something. And I don't even hit that.
But
speaking of like our American Ecstasy commercial, that phone number that they gave, I'm not beeping that out in post. I really wonder. I really wonder what that is today. Scott, when we get done recording this, let's call that and just
212, that's in New York area?
Yeah, I think 212 is New York. But I'm just curious if we accidentally call up some person's home or if it'd be just really funny if it's like a phone sex line or something.
Yeah, we'll give it a shot.
We'll give that a try.
We'll talk about it on the next show.
Because next week, we are talking about, we're still going to be outdated. We're going to talk about ye old internet.
When
I say that, I mean the old internet.
Next week, my goal is to get the listeners so sick of me that they'll be like, is Scott going on vacation again? Because I will warn you now, folks, it's going to be a chiefly me show.
I will be asking questions and clarifications
exactly.
And smart-ass comments. But
exactly.
Yes, it'll be a very Scotty show.
Just because I went, okay, if you want me back, I want to do history of the internet. And you were like, okay.
Well, when we were talking on the phone, it kind of led from the outdated tech. We kind of moved into, man, do you remember Netscape and shit like that? And then you gave me this whole detailed history of Netscape and this.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I'll tell you what. Listeners, do me a favor, and I know I've got a couple of you on Facebook. Send me a message and let me know what outdated tech do you remember fondly. For me,
still have in your basement.
Or maybe still have tucked in a basement somewhere. I still have a zip drive around here somewhere. And
you know,
I
in
may
all
even
honesty,
have a super
can
desk.
I be a whore for the last minute?
Sure, go right ahead.
Hey, listeners, if you've got this outdated technology and you don't want it, email me at lostinthestaticshow@gmail.com. I'm a collector of outdated technology. I mean, hell, look at my co-host. He's outdated in every way possible.
Shut up, you Luddite. I'm more tech savvy than you are.
No, I just mean you as a person. But if you guys don't want any of this old tech, if you guys don't want your old VHS tapes, if you don't want your old Laserdisc, if you don't want your old zip drives, I will take these from you. And think of it as a really cost-effective way of recycling and making me happy at the same
time. We're actually thinking about opening up a museum. And no, I'm not kidding.
What, out of my basement? With all the old shit I've got in my basement?
Yes.
You and my wife have been talking too much.
Yes, we have. Thanks a bunch for joining us, everybody. And it does feel good to be back.
Good night.